We thank you, Lord, that hearts are healed, sins are forgiven, the lost are saved. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we live in a time of miracles. We live in a time in the power of God, and we expect you to move, Lord. We thank you. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful for your presence in this place. Lord, our heart's cry is less of us and more of you. More of your word, more of your presence, more of your way, more of your love, more of you, Lord, flowing through us. Let us, help us to be more like you. That's our heart's cry. We thank you. Glory. Father, we thank you today and every day that your mercy is renewed for us. That today you will give us what we need and not what we deserve. We say thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much. And Lord, because you love us so much, we love you so much. And we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Why don't you say hi to somebody? Tell them you're glad to see him today. Hallelujah. It's good to be in church this morning. Glory, glory, glory to God. Well, listen, if you're visiting with us today, or today is your first, well, if you're visiting with us today, it'd be your first day here. Today's going to be, hello, I'm already in vacation mode. I'm going on vacation, and I think I started a little early, but today's a different service. It's one of the best services of the year, so you're in the right place at the right time. Amen? We've got all of our young people, our youth, and the leaders are back from camp today. And so we're excited to see and to hear what God has done in this past week. Now, every year, our church has we call it our pie auction. And every year, we sell pies and parking spaces from anywhere from $50 to over $1,000. I think our parking space this year went for $2,400 or something like that. And so people say, how is that possible? Every year, Pastor Angel, when he goes to camp, all the other youth pastors are like, how do you guys do that? I'll tell you how we do it, because we love young people. Amen? We love teenagers. We don't see them as the problem. We see them as the solution. Amen? And so we just love them. Our whole church loves them. And so that's why our pie auction is so successful, that we're able to raise all that money. And I always encourage people, it's not one person with $1,000. It's all of us together. It's the people who can pay $25, and it's the people that can pay $2,500. All of us together make what you're going to hear about today possible. Amen? And so I don't want to take any time. We've got a video for all of us who didn't get to go to camp. They've got a video that can kind of make us feel like we've been there. Amen? So let's get ready to watch. Be ready. Buckle your pew belt, because this video, man, it gets you moving a little bit. All right, roll it, guys.
Oh, they see the cloud. I step in. I wanna see your glory like Moses did. Flashes of light and rolls of thunder, but I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Show me. Lost in your eyes, I want to walk in your presence like Jesus did. Your glory surrounds me.
Powerful. Wow, that was amazing. All right, so today we're going to do a little bit of a tag team ministry. And so first we have Casey, one of the youth leaders. Then we have Josh, youth leader. Then we have Ben and Pastor Angel are each going to share a portion of what they felt like we all needed to hear from camp. Amen? You guys ready? All right.
Hello. So I wanted to start with describing what a day at camp is like so you guys can kind of get the understanding of why it's such an impact to them. So basically, like, the first day is kind of crazy because we're all getting there, getting unpacked. We have orientation. We eat. Then we go to service, which each service is at least 2 hours long. Usually the last service of the week is 5 hours long. And they don't get tired. They're ready to keep going. And they're all like, oh, we're leaving? Why? But so then the next day, like, they wake up. There's early morning prayer if they want to go, or they can go to breakfast, and then we have, like, our little team meetings, and then service, and then they have team competitions, they eat, free time, and then another service. So they're going to two services, so at least 4 hours of praising God and hearing the word a day. And so they're constantly surrounded by people that are pretty much there all for the same purpose. Like, we always do, like, a kind of handout card so everybody can write what they're expecting at camp. And a majority of them always are, we want to grow closer to God. So being surrounded by all these people that you haven't met before, 1,200 kids, and then there's workers in addition to the 1,200, and everybody's there for God. It's kind of like heaven because, like, everybody's there for that purpose. It's all this diversity, and just it's, like, amazing. But and at camp, like, there's always this call up to the front on the first night for being to rededicate their life or to become a new creation, like that kind of thing, being born again. but they usually, everybody goes up every year to restart and to restart. So I kind of want to direct it towards us as the church and the parents of the kids and the mentors of the kids and ask you guys, what community are we providing them when they come back? Because camp is like this amazing week, but if they're not coming back and continuing, then there's no purpose of them going. Because every year, like, the first night I asked the girls, I'm like, aren't you guys tired of coming back every year and rededicating? Like, don't you guys want to come next year and build up more and more and more and not have to restart every single year? So, and like Pastor Peggy tells us all the times that we're the ministers of the church. When someone asks you who's the minister of the church, you say, I'm the minister of the church. And so we can do that through our actions, by telling the kids every time they walk by, hey, how's school? How's your summer doing? What'd you do this week? Do you have any exciting plans? Like, even if they don't know you, just, hey, I'm Casey. What's your name? Mac. Oh, hey, what's up, Mac? but just reaching out to them, because maybe they don't have a godly mentor in their life, or maybe they go home and all they hear is all the stuff on the news and that they have no future or blah, blah, blah. All these people telling them all this stuff because they know what's going on with the world. Even if they're not paying attention or they're always on their phone, they know what's going on. And some of them might be scared. So having that mentor or somebody tell them, like, there's hope. We have a hope in living. You guys are going to change the future. You guys are the solution to everything that's going on. So as parents and mentors, that every time you guys are with them, in the car, put on a worship song before they go and listen to whatever else they want. Just getting them in the habit of every morning before school or before wherever you have to go, let's put on a worship song and then we'll talk and da-da-da-da. Just taking advantage of the moments that we do have with them. Because believe me with the girls in the car, sometimes I'm just like, let's listen to music. I don't want to talk right now. But I catch myself at the end of the week, I'm like, man, I don't know what Carly was going through, because I don't live with Carly anymore. I'm like, I don't know what she went through this week, or I don't know what Sarah went through this week, like things like that. And I'm like, it's because I didn't take advantage of the time I had to ask. With the, like, I spoke about the whole new creation and them renewing themselves every year. When they come back, we have to build them up. We can't remind them when they come back, like, you did that before camp. Like, I still haven't forgiven you. We're telling them that they're forgiven by God and they're forgiven their new creation. But then when they come back, we're like, you did that. No, you're not allowed to do that. We need to, I know, like, if they keep doing it, then you need to correct them and be like, yo. But we had to come back and forgive them like God has. Be the examples in their life. Because, I mean, you can't see God, like, right there and him have a sign saying you're forgiven. But, like, if they have their parents in their life or their mentors or their youth leaders, and we're all like, it's all right, you're forgiven. Like, we lead the way that God wants us to lead and be that godly source in their life, then they'll be like, wow, it is real. It is true. I am forgiven. Also, at the end of camp, every night, the boys and the girls, we each had separate meetings together, prayer meetings. We talked about the services, stuff like that. Like, as parents or whoever you are that you're spending time with these kids, take a moment, take 30 minutes out of hanging out or going to get food and be like, yo, let's go over here and let's talk in the car. Let's go over what you feel God has been talking to you lately. Let's read the Bible together. Let's talk about what it says in this book of the Bible. Or just to pray together. It's like I'm used to, like, me and Carly, my sister, when we sleep over, I'll go pray over here and she'll go pray over there. But instead, to grab them and be like, let's pray together. Let me show you how to pray to God and get them comfortable. In every situation that you guys face, just showing them, like, oh, instead of getting all frustrated and saying words you might not supposed to say or handling it in a way that you probably shouldn't, showing them, like, oh, this is what the word says. I'm going to stand on the word. God says I will be blessed. I will have provision. I will have this. I will not freak out. But just remembering that we have them for 7 hours generally a week. You guys have 162 hours on average to spend with the kids and show them the way of God. And that through even just your actions of every day, that they are paying attention. And just get them used to starting their day with God, ending their day with God. And as it goes, they'll get used to including God throughout their day. So, yeah. Thanks, you guys.
What's up, guys? So, did you guys all see the 30 people crammed into one room, the 30 boys? So, my two favorite moments were worship, because I love worshiping, and then meeting with them at night, because it was just good to, like, get insight from them and, you know, hear them all open up. A lot of them opened up, the ones that you wouldn't expect to open up. But that brings me to my point. One of the things, we made a journal for them. It's, you know, a BBC original, and we put questions in it and stuff. And one of the questions, the first question was, who did you encourage today? And then, we switched up the question every day, but I ended up just sticking with that one when we led the meeting because, you know, there's power in encouraging someone. One of the most spiritually beneficial things that we can do as believers is to encourage somebody. Literally, one of the most spiritually beneficial things you can do is to encourage someone. Why? Our God is an encouraging God, right? So 2 Corinthians 7, 5-6, this is Paul talking. When we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. So I'm going to stop right there. A lot of us can feel like that, right? No rest, face conflict from every direction. One thing happens, another thing comes. It's like, you know, never ending sometimes. Now, if we backtrack, you know, however many years, for me it's like 10 years, you know. When I was a youth, I mean, it was constant, you know. You know, I've seen girls, you know, break their nail and the whole world's, you know, going under and they're very upset and stressed, but it's serious. You're going through a time where everything is just, you know, intense, you know. So after that, it says, with the battles on the outside and fear on the inside, but God, who encourages those who are discouraged, right? So God is an encourager. Our God is an encourager. So right after that, it says, encouraged us by sending by the arrival of Titus. He sent Titus to Paul. Now, that's really important. Titus was used to encourage Paul, the apostle, the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, that guy. See, it's not about position. It's about purpose. And we all have the same purpose. We have the purpose of encouraging. We have the purpose of, activating that power that lives on the inside of us, the same power that rose Christ from the dead, the same power that healed, the same Jesus that encouraged everyone. He came and encouraged and healed and loved. That is the same power that is living in us. We are all Tituses. We are all Pauls. And we are called to encourage one another, and especially our youth. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. But my question and challenge to you is, are you doing? Are you encouraging? You know, Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death, right? So everyone is constantly saying, I've said it myself too, but I need to stop. I need to stop making a habit of it, is that this generation, this younger generation, the most selfish generation, everything's so, drawn up with sex and this, that, and the third. But, we get what we say, right? But when me and these leaders and these youth, when we were there, that's not what I saw. I didn't see a selfish generation. I saw people coming out of the woodworks, our youth group coming out of the woodworks, the people, the least expected people to come out and encourage each other. Why? Because we challenge them to encourage them. Are you challenging them to encourage? Are you challenging yourself to encourage them? So these kids, the last people on your mind that you would think, the kid who's talking and the kid who thinks he's too cool for school, suddenly is doing the most. He's being the leader. He's the one that's really rising up and leading the crowd, okay? And I just want to give a shout out to Wade and Travis. Like, for me personally, while I was there, they just took their time. You might even not remember it, and that's why it's so important. You may not even remember what you did or what you said, but that's how important it is, because I still remember it. I still held on to the word of encouragement that Wade gave me, to the word of encouragement that Travis gave me during camp, and that brings us joy. That brings us, that'll give us that confidence we need for that day to keep moving, to keep pressing forward. Instead of focusing so much on our problems and making our problems ultimately bigger than our God, that's a whole nother message, but, instead of making our problems so big, we need to encourage others, because ultimately then our problems become less and less. They become smaller because we're so focused on others. We're focused on pouring into someone else. We're focused on loving to someone else. I am evidence of people encouraging me. That is why I'm where I am today, because God used so many Tituses and so many Pauls to encourage me. Amen? Philippians 2:1-4 says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. I'm going to read a couple more verses because it's the Word of God, and if the Word of God's talking about it, that's one thing I was very surprised when I was looking how many verses are talking about encouraging, So it blew my mind how much the Word of God is telling us to go out and encourage others. Again, one of the most spiritually beneficial things you can do is to encourage someone. So I'll close out on this. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. The ones who seem like, man, there's no hope for them. The ones who seem that are weak, those are the ones we have to be patient with the most. Those are the ones we have to build up the most. Those are the ones that are destined to be one of the most epic leaders in the kingdom of God, because the devil is attacking them so much because he knows the capabilities of that person. Yeah, and one last thing I just want to say. When we were at camp, they had a altar call for all the people who felt like they were worthless, who felt like they, suicidal, that whole thing. And there were so many kids that went down there, so many. Like, the leaders will agree, it just moved us, It's like, and I had a lot of the kids come up to me afterwards like, man, I can't believe such and such. I didn't know he dealt with that. I would have never guessed. And we have to keep that in mind. The person right next to you, next to your shoulder right now in the pew, can be going through that, and all they need is a word of encouragement. God is an encourager, and the most beneficial thing we can do spiritually, one of the most, is to encourage the next person. Thank you.
Good word. Good morning, everybody. Excuse my voice, this is recovering from the week. I lost it Friday and then singing, but that's just going to tell you how awesome this is. So I've been going to Camp Decision. This is my 14th year going. Started when I was small. I'm a little bit bigger now. a little bit. The past years at camps, at the camps I went to, the morning services, they were good, but this year was just excellent. Not that it was a lack of expectation, but just because they had a schedule to keep, so you kind of had to, you know, go with the schedule. This year was totally different. There was two new speakers we had. It was Pastor Daniel Gray. He spoke Monday night and Tuesday morning. And then Miss Casey, she spoke Thursday. Not this Casey, but Camp Decision Casey. She spoke on a few points that were really powerful. And the one I want to share this morning with you, it was called No Autopilot Praise. What does that mean? So she began to share her personal story, how she's always been in church. She worships God just like us. She gets in the Word almost every day. Then she began to share about how it seemed automatic, which could be good and bad. By this point, she really had my attention. I became fully engaged in it. How many have automatic cars in this place? You have an automatic car transmission. Okay. Your automatic car shifts into the gear it's supposed to at the right time, right? That's how they work. Without you guys having to think twice, some of you guys don't even think once about it. So what does this have to do with praising God? I kind of wanted to give you an analogy here. You see, your car is a machine. It operates the same way unless something goes wrong. Your check engine light comes on. But most of us don't get it checked out, let's be honest. If it still runs, we're good, right? So we forget. So we keep going on, it's fine. The check engine light, we keep going on and forget about the warning sign. And I was preparing this message, I was asking myself, are we doing that with God? Are we doing that? Are we doing the Christian routine? We come to church, we worship God because everyone else does it. And so, is it automatic? Is coming to church automatic? But when there's a problem, we act like it doesn't exist. We keep going on with the problem attached. As long as we can still wake up and function, we're okay. So Thursday morning, I was sitting in my seat. We're like way in the back. Sitting in my seat, I began to ask myself these questions. That's what becoming fully engaged is, the Holy Spirit dealing with me. And then the main question I want to ask you guys this morning is, are you giving praise at God or are you giving praise to God? So I looked into these, the at and the to. You can kind of tell the difference, but the preposition at, used to indicate the person or thing toward which an action, motion, or feeling is directed or aimed. The preposition to, used to indicate addition, attachment, connection, belonging, possession, accompaniment, or response. Have I been in autopilot praise mode, praising at God, hoping and praying and believing that he will hear my cry? Am I praising God just because that's what you're supposed to do at church? Am I treating God as an automatic machine and not thinking twice about it? Or am I giving praise to God, praising him for a connection, a relationship, for his attachment to my heart, for the belonging of his presence, for the possession of his word, to the response for his love that he had for me? So Thursday night, it was surrender night. We live streamed on our Facebook a little bit, just not even close to how powerful it was on live, but it was ridiculous. I was on my knees in God's presence. We were singing those songs all night, that song and a couple other songs, just all night. I think we were there till about midnight. We started at 7:30. So Thursday night, I sat there on my knees crying to God. God, have I been in autopilot mode? You know, just really, it really checked my heart in that mode. I don't want to do that. So I asked God, am I being in autopilot mode? So God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm not a machine. I am God. See, sometimes we come to church because it's a habit we Christians do. We praise because everyone else is doing it. We are worshiping God because we want to look good in front of everyone else at church. We don't want to be, you know, the weird person that sits in the back. None of you guys, though. Not at this church, yeah. Our praise and worship to God shouldn't be at God. It should be to God. If your check engine light is on spiritually, there's a reason for it, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit. One of the analogies Pastor Daniel Gray used, yes, the crowd. How many have iPhones in this place? Raise your hands. How many have iPhones? How many Android users? All right, we'll continue to pray for you guys. The iPhone app, their slogan or the phrase that is, there's an app for that. How many have heard that? There's an app for that. You know, if you want to learn how to play an instrument, there's an app for that. If you want to face swap with your best friend, there's an app for that. And did you know there's an app to purposely overheat your phone to warm your hands? That won't help us down here, but that would be awesome north. So Pastor Daniel Gray, he said all that, and then he said, I want to tell you that if you have a problem, God has a promise for that. Your problem could feel like death, but God promises us life. Your problem could be in darkness, but God promises us light. It could be God takes us from defeat to victory, from shame to grace, from fear to faith, from sorrow to joy, from dread to expectation, from mourning to dancing, from the bondage of sin to freedom. And if you're in this room today and you've asked yourself this, or you told yourself, I'm not good enough, God can never use me, I've made too many mistakes, I can never do what Pastor Peggy does, what Pastor Scott does, but myself, Angel, Devon, Pastor Fong, can never do all that because of my past. I want to encourage you this morning, listen to this real quick. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Don't do that. Don't do that. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead. If you woke up this morning, you take a fresh breath of air, it's proof that God is not done with you yet. Amen. God can use anyone, and that anyone is you. Amen. So I want to end on this note. Don't walk through life with your situation. Walk through life with your revelation. Amen. Pastor Angel.
Wow. Powerful. Glory to God. Amazing job, guys. Amazing job. Well, here we are. A couple of days back from camp. Everybody get enough sleep? Kind of figured that. This is probably my 9th consecutive year going to camp, and it's always amazing. I mean, it just gets better and better. I think we just start seeing our God bigger and bigger. Amen? And one of the things I was able to get to service, I get pulled out of service. I don't get to sit in every single service, you know, because I'm doing security, and someone either gets sick, as much as you tell them, drink enough water. When it comes to service, they're bouncing around. And then they dehydrate, unfortunately. But I get pulled a lot. But one of the things that really ministered to me was Monday evening, Pastor Daniel Gray. He shared a word that was powerful. And one of the things I was able to get was he reminded us as a body of Christ that we are giant slayers. Amen. It doesn't matter how big the situation, like Ben said, and we all kind of wrapped it up together. We need to stop talking so much about the situation and start reminding the devil that we serve a big God. Amen? Glory to God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Amen? How many believe that this morning? Amen. So here we are, guys. We're back from camp. Pretty much we're back smacked in the middle of our distractions. Amen. Because we went to camp. For your campers, they took your cell phone. Many of you probably had nightmares. Come on now. But that's one of the best. And not only our church, I get to spend a lot of time behind the scenes with youth pastors and leaders. And a lot of churches this year, I guess they heard from the Holy Ghost. Amen? And they said, take the phones away. Many campers came up to me and said, hey, security, we'll give you some candy. We'll give you this. If it's not a Ben Franklin, I don't want it. I want cash. Amen. But God just showed up every day. Every service just got better and better. Like Ben said, Thursday night is 12 o'clock midnight, and these kids do not want to go home. Not mine. They've been up since 7:30 in the morning. As adults, I'm gonna talk about myself. I love 8 p.m. because I like to go to bed at 8 o'clock. Amen. As you get closer to those higher numbers, we need to rest. So here we are. We're back from camp. We got our cell phones. We're back in our comfortable environment because you're around 1,200 kids. Maybe the first couple of hours, you're like, should I go talk to them? But after you keep going to camp years and years after years, a lot of the same people go. So, but what I want to wrap it up today is because here we are. Tomorrow, us workers, most of us are going to go to work. You guys are still on vacation from school. Maybe some of you do work. But distraction is going to stare us in the face. Amen. And I looked up the definition of distraction, and I picked up the top three. The first one is the act of distracting or the state of being distracted or mental confusion. I'm not looking at nobody. Something that makes it difficult to think or even pay attention. And I like this last one. I got 3 minutes. Here we go. Something that amuses us. Here we go. Or entertains us so that you do not think about problems, work. And as I was typing this, I was kind of sitting here, and the team was ministering. The Holy Ghost just deposited this in my spirit. And I added, so that we don't think about God's plan or God's goodness. Because when we're distracted, when we're focusing on the problem, many times, the last thing we do, the last resort is we don't even want to talk to God. Because many times we want to blame him. Really, God? This is really happening? But I'm here this morning to remind you that there is an enemy. He comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. And I want to talk to the campers right now that what was deposited to you this week, hold on to it. Walk it out. Because tomorrow morning when Monday comes, sometimes we're done, but let's make this year a different year. Let's make every Wednesday night a different Wednesday night, every Sunday, because like Pastor Peggy, we've all been kind of talk about it. We can have camp here every week. Amen. The same Holy Ghost, amen. The same music. Hey, we got, not because I'm on the band, we got an amazing praise and worship band. Amen. So why not? Be led by the Holy Ghost. And I was going to go over a few things, but I don't feel led to do it this morning. But I just want to encourage you. Take the time this week, tonight, tomorrow, and maybe write down maybe some distractions, maybe some relationships, maybe some things that we got to let go. We got to let go. Yeah. You know, Romans says that we got to renew our mind. And many times, we're like the children of Israel. We're going around that same circle, asking God the same question, and the answer's in his word. Amen. God bless you.
Hey, everybody. If you don't know me, I'm Pastor Chris. I'm actually the youth pastor. I was not able to go to camp this year. We're going to have the youth come up. You're going to hear from them in just a second. Come on. Come on. But for various reasons, I was not able to come this year. It was super sad. I came to see the kids off on Monday, and I climbed onto the bus to say goodbye, and I thought, I wonder if they'll fire me if I call them and say, I accidentally took the vacation I canceled. I said, no. But unfortunately, I had various reasons to stay behind, and I'm going to include the shameless plug. One of the reasons is because of my very beautiful wife, who's 33 weeks pregnant. I want to make sure I was around to help her out. But And one thing I'm going to do, and then we're going to get to testimonies. And same thing first service. If I give you a tap, it's just because there's a lot of you, and we want to hear from everybody. And, well, it's already 12:30, so we want to hear what happened. But one thing I want to do before is if all the youth leaders that went to camp, if they could just stand up real quick. Thank you, guys. They did an awesome job, and a lot of them go, and it's not like they get to go for free. They have to pay the deposit just like everyone else, and some of them, I know their jobs, they don't get paid vacation when they take off, so they take off a week of work to invest in your kids and lose money on the end, but, you know, gain blessing. So also, and I'd just like the youth to give all of you a hand, because without you guys, they would not have been able to go to camp. So we'll start at this end. Listen, everyone knows what the food was. We're glad you had friends. We're glad, but we want to hear what God did in your lives, okay? All right.
Hello, I'm Cheyenne. All right, well, I guess God gave me a vision of, like, a career path. Like, I've been on and off thinking about doing acting, and so he gave me a vision to go ahead and pursue acting. And, you know, I can get a big fan base and spread God's word better. And then he extended even more, saying that one day maybe I can build my own church and then have Mac as the pastor there. So I got.
Hi, I'm Manuel. And Pastor Chris kind of stole my thunder because I was going to thank everybody. But that's all.
Hi, I'm Jasmine, and before I went to camp, I have scoliosis, so it's kind of hard to stand up straight, and when I do, it kind of hurts a little bit. But I think Thursday night, I can't remember who said it, but they said if you have any health issues or something, to put your hand where you have it and pray. And so I put my hand on my back, and I started to pray. And then the next day, on Friday, I, during service, figured out that I had been standing up straight almost the whole day.
Hi, I'm Kiani, and this is my first year at camp. And so when I went, I was actually really surprised. I really liked it and everything. And on Thursday, when they called down for, like, to repair, like broken hearts and everything, I went down, I was crying, like it just hit me really hard. And so like I prayed for some people after, like, I was done crying and everything. And then the whole week, like, you could just, like, sense the Holy Ghost was there and everything, and I can sense God's presence in me, and now I feel much lighter, and I have, like, spiritually a new heart. And yeah.
Hi, I'm Precious. It's my first year at camp. I remember going to camp, and it was like, I've been going through a lot, and it's kind of hard. And when on Thursday, they called down everyone who needed a new heart. And I went down, and I felt like when I went down there, I felt lighter. And I felt the presence of God touch me. And when he did, I felt a weight come off me.
Hi, I'm George, and this year at camp was my first year, and I gotta admit, I didn't expect a lot. I didn't expect to be moved as I was. When I went to church here at BVC, I did it for the main reason, just to make my grandmother happy. But when I started to get involved in the Wednesday service and stuff, you know, I ended up signing up to go to the church, to the camp. And when I went, they called down for new hearts. And I went down. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't feel nothing. I was confused. I didn't understand anything that was going on at that camp until I spoke to Josh. I don't know where he's at, but I spoke to Josh, and he prayed for me. He told God to take away the confusion. And when I left there, I realized I went to that camp. I was put in that camp to realize that there's amazing people in the world. There's godly people in the world. There is a God.
Amen.
And amen. You and you just got to stop being scared and stop being confused and just listen to him. Let him come in. That's all.
I'm Gentorus. I went to camp. This is my fourth year. I went thinking nothing was going to be able to change me. Like, once I got there, like, camp showed me that, like, I can care more about other people and not just myself. And, like, me helping other people brings good towards me also. Yeah. I got these awards.
Hello, everyone. I am Felipe. Earlier, I gave a testimony about, like, God taking all the anger that was inside of me out. But I'm going to give a different one now about healing. My first year at camp, I went there, and I was expecting, like, healing. Like, even though I was kind of shy, I wasn't, like, getting into it a lot. But I was still expecting healing for my low blood pressure issues. And after camp, my first year, that was completely gone. Haven't had any issues with that. After my second year, after my first year, we found out I had an irregular heartbeat. So, and like my breathing, it kind of made it a little bit more difficult to breathe, like running and all that. And then after my second year camp, that was completely gone. And then this year, it was like a few days before camp, I dropped a brick on one of my toes on my right foot. And that was hurting a lot, even just sitting there, not putting any pressure, it hurt. After around Wednesday, that started to feel fine. And Thursday, I started to get, like, really lightheaded, and I wasn't sure what was happening. You know, I started to get a headache, everything like that. And then we started to, we did three count for, like, screaming with Jesus. And after about 4 seconds, I just completely passed out, was leaning over on the stage, all that. And I woke up about a minute later. My head felt completely fine. My feet weren't sore. All that was completely gone.
My name is Kyle Brooks. This is my second year at camp. And I think it was Daniel Eric Groves that said, don't matter what other people think when you praise. Don't think that there's anyone around you. And when I went down for a new heart, I felt the touch of Jesus hit me and I fell back. And then like a minute later, yeah, they picked me up. And then I felt dizzy and I went back to my chair and started worshiping again.
Hello, my name is Jasmine. This is my fifth year. So one night or morning, there was a lady named Casey, and she started talking about baggage and carrying it with you. So, yeah, I got to go fast. But basically, to wrap it up, I learned that I can't keep dwelling on the past, and I got to let some stuff go so I can continue to move forward what God has for me.
Hi, my name is Jada. This is my fifth year. So before camp, I had a problem like holding on to little things and overthinking and everything, and it kind of held me back from like a lot of things. Like I would just hold grudges a lot. And I think it was Thursday night at camp, I realized I have the choice to let things affect me. And if I could like forgive, I can forgive. But if I want to keep holding on to it and over like thinking, I have the choice to do that too. So now I learned that I have the choice to either forgive, and I have, and I'm way more happier now.
Hi, my name is Tari. This is my third year at camp, and I don't really have like health problems or all that, but like someone stated, like they thought our generation was like a selfish generation. And like on Thursday, it's like surrender, so everyone's emotional. And I'm not gonna lie, I was crying. And then I looked around, And then I just seen a lot of people just praying for me and hugging for me. And I'm like, it's crazy because I never even met them. It's like, they probably like seen me there, but I just didn't know them or I didn't even say anything to them. And they just prayed for me. And like, it was strong. That's why I love camp.
Hi, my name is Noah Jacobs, and this is my last year at camp. And I'll make this quick. This year, I was looking for, restrengthening my relationship with God and reconnecting my relationship with God. And, you know, that's what happened this year. That's good. That's why I love camp.
Hello, my name is TJ, and I don't remember what day it was, but Ms. Casey was talking about how we should let go of baggage, and I started doing that and letting go of things that I know I shouldn't have in my life, and yeah, that's it.
Hello. My name is Wade, and it's my third year at camp. I get nervous when a lot of people look at me, so I start laughing. And all right, last year was the first time I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And after camp, I kind of stepped away from God, doing things I shouldn't be doing. And this year when we went back to camp, I got the passion that I had before for God again, and I'm going to try to keep it that way.
Hi, my name is Macho. Hey. This is my seventh year at camp and my last year as a camper, and in all honesty, I wasn't really looking forward to going this year because I was kind of like knowing in the back of my mind, like, oh, this is my last year as a camper. It won't be as fun. Like, oh, like the last time I can do like competitions and stuff like that. But God, like, I don't really remember the day because it was honestly the week went by so fast. It's all a blur. And God put on my heart, like, oh, like be like even more excited than you are going as a camper for a worker, because I have had so many like good leaders go to camp with me, such like Fong, Ben, my dad, my sisters. Where's Mike? Oh, he's up there. But Mike, and so like I've had so many like great leaders like come and make like camp like such a great experience. And I know without them and like their hard work and stuff, it wouldn't have been nearly as good. And so like God just put on my heart to like come again and come expecting, you know, for like the younger kids like Wade, like Tyree, like Kyle, and Esteban and everybody, and just like make sure like you make their like camp as unforgettable as it has been for you. And yeah.
I'm Ethan, and this was my second year at camp. But this year compared to last year, everything just picked up so fast. Like you could feel like God's presence so much stronger on like just Tuesday night compared to last Thursday, or last year's Thursday. Because this year, just everyone came expecting and knowing that, you know, God was going to really change their lives and make miracles in their lives. And for me, God really, like, explained to me that to be able to accept him and, like, you know, really move forward into, like, my passion for God, I need to drop, like, all of the counterfeits that, you know, the enemy's made, like, there's always the counterfeit friends who, like, you know, inspire you to move away from God and, you know, move into, like, whatever it could be, like, you know, just anything bad. But then there's, like, you know, the friends that you should have, like, the friends that I made at camp this year who, like, all inspired me to move closer to God, like, inspired me to go down and, like, you know, into the crowd and, like, praise God, you know? So, yeah, that's it.
Hi, I'm Peter. This is my second year at camp. What I got this year from Pastor Daniel Gray, he was talking about making sure that, like, because we live, like, my generation, our generation, is like, everything influences us, like music, and what we watch on TV, and so Pastor Daniel Gray was talking about making sure that you get the right, you know, you're influencing yourself with the right things. So that hit me because, like, I found myself, you know, listening to music I shouldn't, and doing, like, different things, like, and making sure that I input things that will help me grow as a person, and making sure that, like, it's okay. Sorry, like, the Holy Spirit just... But, sorry, the, but, that, you know, I can, grow as a Christian just by, like, it's okay to listen to the music that you want, but don't forget, you know, to, you know, take some time to, listen to, you know, some God Christian music or anything, like, just to help you, stay on the right track, help you grow.
Hi, my name is Esteban. It was my first year at camp. And on Monday night, God gave me a vision of just a big crowd of people. And then on Wednesday night, he gave me another vision of a big line of people, and I was praying for people. And then on Thursday, during the day service, he gave me a vision of me graduating from Rhema Bible College.
That's good. Hi, I'm Trevor, and this is my second year here at camp. God is telling me that I'm going to be something great when I grow up in life, but he's telling me that through different people. And he's also telling me not to second guess myself, because sometimes I'll have something on my heart that I should tell to people, and I either second guess myself or I forget what I'm going to say. And I've been praying for, like, to stop forgetting and to stop second guessing myself. And I don't know, that's what he's been saying.
Hey! I'm Hunter, this is my second year. And this year, it started off different because Daniel Gray, he preached amazing. He started off powerful, then last year, this year Monday, felt like last year Thursday. Because, yeah, Jesus.
Hi, my name is Faith. This was my seventh and last year going to camp as a camper. A few people already talked about Thursday night service. Pastor Kathy did an altar call for people to come down and get a new heart. She said she saw an angel who told her there was people who needed new hearts. And as soon as she said that, the first thing I thought of was my dad, because some of you know he passed away last December. And, I mean, in my life, people dying just kind of became a normal event for me. Several times a year, I'd go to funerals for people. So I could literally count on my hand how many times I cried about my dad dying, because it was just normal. So when she called us down, I didn't really feel anything. I wasn't looking around, but I could feel people dropping and crying around me. And I was just like, God, let me feel my heart. I need to feel something to know that I do actually still care about people dying. And it's not just so normal that I just don't even care anymore. It's just another thing. And then they started, Pastor Jane Lark Grove said that God's the father to the fatherless, and he just kept saying that, and he said somebody needed to hear that, and he said that, and then one of the guys in the band started playing You're a Good, Good Father, and I just started crying, and I had, like, a few people from the youth group around me just, like, making sure I was okay, telling me I'd be okay. And I could feel my heart as soon as Pastor Daniel Grove said, he's a father to the fatherless. I felt it in my heart. I could feel something was different. So I'm back. I'm happier. I know that I'm going to be okay. My family's going to be okay. And it can only get better from here.
Hey, I'm Maddie. Oh, God. Okay. It's my sixth year as a camper, and it was like everybody said, it's immediately, it was so powerful. Even Monday night, like, I started receiving, like, words from God, and there's that song, it says, overflow in this place, fill your hearts with our love, your love surrounds us. And I know this kind of sounds weird, but I'd never really experienced, like, God's love so powerful. And so that night, like, just because of, like, life situations and my year's been a little rough, I, like, his love was so overwhelming. It was, like, it was crazy. And so I just kept waiting throughout the week, and finally we got to surrender night, and sorry, my voice is, like, really shot out from me screaming. Thursday night, Pastor Kathy said that she'd seen an angel in the crowd, and he had a new, like, sparkling heart. And she said that if anybody had, like, heart problems or broken hearts, it'd come down. And so I went down, and it was, like, all I heard was weeping. Like, there's just weeping everywhere. And I could see people dropping. I was just looking around, and it was really sad to see how all of the people of my generation were so sad and so brokenhearted. But it was also really beautiful because they were getting healed, and God was healing them, their hearts, and giving them a new heart. And so it was just like, after we'd cried and worshiped, me and Kiani were like crying on each other the whole time. And like she said, first service, it was just, it felt like something lifted off of everyone. Like, there wasn't this weight carrying down everybody. Like, we had a new heart, and it was just, it was such a beautiful experience. So.
Hey, I'm Mac. Like Maddie was talking about, the whole broken heart thing. So many people went down, and including myself, so many people that were hurt and depressed, and so many people that needed a change. And I mean, I went down, and I felt absolutely nothing at all, to be honest. And I was like, why am I here? This is so sad. There's so many people crying. I mean, there was one kid in front of me. He was crying so hard, he was screaming at the top of his lungs. It was super, super sad. But as I was trying to make my way back to my seat, because I didn't want to be all sad, God told me to stay right there and watch it all happen and watch everybody and see what takes place. And throughout the night, crying went down. Less people started crying. We started singing more joyful songs. We started praising, dancing, screaming. And it just shows how powerful God is to show that no matter what it is, fear, depression, lust, all of it, our God is bigger than that. He can take care of it all, and it's all gone in his name.
All right. Yo, my name is David, right? I've been going to camp for 5 years, but I think, to me, it's my best, like, the best year I ever had because, like, I'm getting older, about to finish high school and go out in the real world, and seeing all the stuff that goes around this generation, like, I really don't want to be a part of that and, like, just, like, go away from God. Yeah. So, yeah. I'm going to try my best to stay closer to God. Yeah.
Amen. You already know it's your boy, Caleb. I just want to say thank y'all for supporting us and Pry Auction and Car Wash and all that. Because we're doing it with y'all. What about to say? I said something different in first service. I got to think something else. Oh, yeah. I was thinking, and Josh was like, oh, what you think your calling is? And I couldn't understand. And then I was in service. I just closed my eyes. And I heard, like, you know, the hardwood on the basketball court, the when you squeezing your feet. I heard that. I was like, I don't know what's happening. Not seeing people in the crowd, like, just looking at me and, like, shouting for me and stuff like that. So I was thinking, like, maybe God got something to do with basketball, something like that. Yeah, you know how that go.
You guys can be seated. Just one, you guys can be seated. One last thing I'm going to share really, really fast is if you know me, over the last few years, I've developed a love for basketball, and I couldn't go this year, and Noah said, we're going to bring home the win for you, because my favorite non-spiritual camp thing is the basketball tournament, and they brought it home for me.
If you don't know, that's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. They've won it, well, we won't go there, but 1 year was a rough year, but all the rest, it's been Noah and Corey. Hey, I know we've gone long, but it's not going to kill you. You'll be all right, all right? You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Man, it's so powerful to hear what God has done in their lives. And I tell you, let's not let these guys pass. We're a church together, all generations. We all look different, we sound different, we're from different places, but we are one family, amen? And so that fire that they got, let's let it be contagious for us. I don't know about you, but I want to catch that too. So we're going to come in here not just with the routine of church, the practice of church. We've been saying this for weeks and weeks now. We're here for an encounter with the living God, amen? And so I'm so thankful. We have the best church, don't we? We truly have the best church. Woo! Glory to God. Praise God. Hey, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. We say this every week. We give because we not because we. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we want to. So if you want to give here today, that's what offerings are for. They're for people who want to. We're cheerful givers. And listen, we're quick givers today, all right? We're going to be quick. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow.